Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
The star, Meet the Blacks.
Lil Duval.
You already know what it is. You know, that's what we gonna say.
Lil Duval, what's up, sir?
Man, where's Angela Yee?
Angela needed a vacation, man. She just wanted to take a couple days off.
Man, I was ready for Angela Yee. I like messing with Angela Yee. We all do. So I was like, boy, I'm finna go viral.
What you had for her?
I ain't saying it. Nah. No. Because I wanted her to try me, and I was going, boom, 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 boom. Because I know she was going to try me. I was like, oh, I know you ain't talking. That's what I was finna do.
Well, you got a new movie that's Meet the Blacks. I seen you pay for a whole people in a movie theater.
Yeah, yeah. That was my family and friends in Jacksonville. I paid, because that was my dream from day one when I started. I remember going to the movies, seeing Friday, and I saw everybody laughing at Chris Tucker. And I say, man, that's what I want to do. I want to be able to come into a movie theater and see them all laughing at me. And when I got a chance to do it, I've been in other movies, but it was like 5 seconds, gotcha. 10 seconds. But this one here, I'm in it. You know, I'm out here.
So you bought the whole theater out.
He took him to that dollar theater in Jacksonville and balled on
him. Actually, I took him to the best one. I wish we had a dollar theater still. Mm-hmm. I took him to the best one. I went to the one out in Regency in Jacksonville. Shout out to everybody came out. I mean, it was just cool to do it with your family and share that moment with everybody that rooted for you from day one.
Mm-hmm. Now, why was you crying? I saw this on your Snapchat.
What was you crying about, man?
This right here is giving Michael Jordan crying face meme and run for his money.
I got to follow Duval. Oh, man. What was Duval? You
crying about? I put hashtag stay strong, Duval.
You know what's so funny? I was at the movies when you posted it, I guess. I didn't know you posted it. You texted it to me, and I was laughing. And then I look at my comments on Instagram, and it say, rest in peace, Lil Duval. I'm like, oh. And so I tell my man, I was like, man, I'm dead, bro. I'm like, what the? And so I seen you. I was like, that's Charlamagne messing with me. But what happened was, I was in the club, and I was just happy.
Was you high?
No, I don't get high.
Was you drunk?
I don't drink neither. I really don't drink. But
What's your Snapchat? Is this Lil Duval?
Lil Duval chat. Because somebody stole my Lil Duval name, you know. Okay. But so I was just in the club, and I was looking at all the people around. Mm-hmm. And I was looking around. I was looking at all the creatures in there. And I was like, man.
Creatures?
Yeah, because that used to be me. Like, okay, when I see him, I'm like, dang, this used to be me, man.
Right?
And the sad thing about it, like, I was like, man, they don't even realize how big the world is. I started getting all emotional.
Right.
Man, I done came out of this. Like, I was just thankful for it.
Yeah.
You know, I've been crying a lot lately. Like, when you get older, I feel like you get in your feelings more. Like, I cried going to the movies, watching Inside Out with my daughter. I was like, this is an amazing movie.
I'm not gonna lie, I cried during Creed, man. I couldn't stop. How am I crying?
Like, we crying. Like,
you light-skinned, though.
Shut up.
Yeah, he been crying since he was 12. But I just started crying. Like, man.
Who took the picture?
I did on Snapchat. I was like right there, and my homeboys, you know, they're a bunch of killers and stuff. They're like, you crying, bruh? They're like, no, man, it just happened. And so they start ranking on me and laughing, and I'm like, well, before they put it out, let me go ahead and snap it up. So that's what I did.
Lil Hen got a club?
Yeah, Lil Hen got a club, man.
Shout out to Lil Hen lately.
I'm so proud of Lil Hen, man.
Who's Lil Hen?
That's my homeboy. Like, I don't know if most people that know me, they seen my stand up. They've been following me for a while. Like, I got a joke where I talk about I got my fire on me. Mm-hmm. Like, and he's that dude. Like, he that dude that used to always be with me, always. He was a wild dude. Like, mm-hmm. He really was. He done beat murder charges and all that stuff. And he got love for me. So no matter where we go, I went up to the school. He still got his pistol. I'm like, bro, we don't need a pistol. Well, actually, you probably do.
It's Jacksonville.
Yeah, because you seen what they did with my man Cat Williams. Them little boys is wild out here.
What do you think about that? What do you think about Cat Williams right now?
Man, I look at Cat Williams. Cat Williams is our generation of Rick James.
You're giving him too much credit, bro.
Why?
You're giving him too much credit, man. Rick James had achieved a whole lot before he started wilding out. And Rick James wasn't doing anything other than causing problems with himself. Cat is attacking people.
Nah, it was a different time, though, too. Back then, you didn't have social media where people seen. What y'all realize about Cat, this been Cat. Cat been that. So y'all just realizing this now because of social media and all that. But that's been Cat.
He been swinging on kids?
No, Cat been crazy. Like, when I say crazy, I don't mean like in a psycho where it's just. Think about it. You know how he had trench coat with the cowboy hat? That's been him.
Right.
He's been like on a weird type thing, so it's nothing new. It's a surprise, y'all. And then I respect him too because, believe it or not, he is one of the greatest stand-up comedians. Like, you can't mess with him when he gets on the stage.
Yeah,
and the good thing about being a comedian, you can never go wrong.
But don't you think it's a waste of talent when you as talented as that, but then you acting out?
No, because only thing you can hurt is yourself because at the end of the day, he's still selling out shows. He's the only guy I know can do like the Phillips Arena And he just walked off stage. Just walked off stage in front of 20,000 people, and they came back, and they still came to see him.
So you can't be mad at the hustler. You got to be mad at the consumer. That's right. Y'all dumbass, because we should treat them guys like our parents treat us.
I think people want punishment. I think people understand him. Like, it's a group of people that understand where he coming from. So I think that's why they support him, and he's funny.
We got more with Lil Duval when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Lil Duval is in the building.
I just like, y'all like my family, man. So I just like watching it. I'm proud of y'all. Y'all like the 106 in Park now.
We doing all right.
You know y'all doing good.
What about the girl who got pregnant by Fetty Wap? Threw some shade at her. You said, guys getting women pregnant who don't got real jobs.
Yeah, like, that's going on not just with that Fetty Wap. That's going on with all these little young dudes. Like,
that's been going on. These girls been trapping these dudes,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, but like, man, like, these girls is... The girl being a dude. Now, you got Rihanna treating dudes like how we treat dudes now.
Yeah.
Just me being a man, ain't no way in hell a girl finna make me look crazy publicly. Like,
I ain't gonna lie, though. As a father, I'd rather my daughter be treating dudes like hoes than dudes smoking her out.
You're right, but at the same time...
How about that?
I don't want either one, but if I gotta pick the lesser of two evils.
Right. Yeah, but at the same time, I'm not finna be the dude.
So you wouldn't let Oprah treat you like a hoe, Shawty?
Nah,
you wouldn't be one of Oprah's hoes.
Even with Oprah, I have Oprah doing what I say because I run the house. The male run the house.
The
male is the leader. You know what I'm saying? We supposed to guide them, even if they got more money. You know, they trust us, and you got to trust me. So just like my old lady did.
Patti LaBelle got you on speed dial. She just wants you to come through.
Man, you know,
every now and then.
You know what we say about Patti LaBelle. You know what I mean? I like Patty.
You like him? You like Patty too?
I love Patty.
You want to smash Patty?
Patty been like, I grew up with my grandma because I've been attracted to grandma since I was a kid.
You used to be attracted to your grandma?
I say the grandmas, not my grandma. That don't work with me. That don't work with me, Charlamagne. No.
You hear that headline?
I said Lil Duval
says he's like having sex with his grandma.
Nah, I didn't say that.
He just threw an extra.
He trying to go viral, y'all. Use it. I don't care. Use it.
So you say you attracted to grandmas.
Yeah, I mean, I've just been attracted to grandmas because, like, I grew up around older people. That's why I kind of act old and act like granddaddy now. I just attracted to her, and she was one of the pretty ones, you know, that's on TV. When she sung Somebody Loves You, Baby, I was like, it's me. You know, so I like you. If you want to, holler at me.
She like young men. She got a young dude now.
She do?
Her dude, like, what, 37?
Yeah, young dude.
Oh.
A drummer.
He ain't going to treat you like I do.
I think he's like 40.
You know I'm flying jets now.
Okay.
Holler at me, Patty.
I be seeing you flying in the private jet.
See you out here on them PJs.
I'm on a buddy pass.
Ain't nobody passing no private jet.
Yes, it is. With me, it is. Y'all, if anybody know me, y'all know I represent Rich Brooks. So you know I ain't finna spend nothing unless I got to. So when it comes to that, I don't pay nothing for it. You know, I get it for the love.
Now, you tweeted, can somebody take Blac Chyna's face and put it on the Mona Lisa for me real quick?
Man, I'm so proud of Blac Chyna.
Why are you so proud of him?
Because I've been knowing her for a long, long time. I've seen her come from nothing. That's why I take my hat off to people like Rihanna and Blac Chyna, because they know a duck when they see him. Mm-hmm. This is when I realized, oh, she gone. When I saw her on a picture with Kim Kardashian, Kanye, and all them, they was all sitting on the Maybach, I say, dang, man, she really there. She made it.
Yeah, but we giving people props for their affiliation, man.
I mean, you're right, but at the same... No, she making a lot of money for
that. She making money, too?
Yeah, she making... For somebody that come from... Even if she fell off tomorrow, it's still a win. So...
Tiger, her baby daddy, Rob Kardashian, her...
Tiger young, so she got him because he's young. And Rob, he just needed something to keep him happy. I mean, a good suck from an ex-stripper would do it.
How do we know it's not all image, though? We don't know if the money, they really getting money like that. Man.
What you mean?
Who?
Blac Chyna.
Blac Chyna, I don't care what nobody says. They say you ain't supposed to count pockets, but when you get on Instagram, you start adding up, you're like, ain't no way in hell. She broke. I don't even give a damn if she renting it. Renting that stuff costs a lot of money. So, I mean... She doing good, man.
How you getting money, bro? Everybody always wants to know.
I ain't getting money. Don't do that.
Now you ain't getting no money.
Those are all blessings. Those are all blessings. Those are all blessings. Amen. Those are all blessings.
He goes on vacation so much, I feel bad. I'm like, I gotta stop.
I ain't been on vacation lately. Like, my old lady, her life's so good, she wanted to go to school. So we just...
She went back to school?
Yeah, her dumb ass went back to school, man.
That's good, man.
The major in what?
I don't even know. She was like, I'm going to go back to school. And like, I was just went with it because, you know, you was like.
Why you just ain't say no, Sean?
I did at first, but then, you know, with women, you idle mind's a devil's playground. So I was like, well, man, sometimes you got to let a person go through stuff to see it. Now she like, man, like, I can't wait till this over because when it's over, we out.
You talking about you wouldn't be one of Oprah hoes?
I would.
If you can't even tell your girl no school.
No, not no school.
Y'all know
I'm
how crazy y'all sound talking about no school right now? Do y'all know how crazy?
She grown.
She grown. Great.
She grown.
I mean, Duval making money.
Yeah, she grown. I'm taking. She have no reason. School. She need. My mother always been. You take care of me. I take care of us.
You didn't hit her with the classic Clifford Harris line.
What?
Help me. Help us.
Yeah.
That's it.
Meet the Blacks is out right now. Make sure you go check that out. Support Lil Duval.
You got to come back when you're here, man.
Yeah, man. I can come back. I'm going to pop up off here. I'm going
to
pop up.
Probably come anytime he wants to.
Yeah.
Well, it's the Breakfast Club. It's Lil Duval.
Yes, yeah.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. Now, I don't know if we should call him Barack Obama, if we should call him Jay-Z.
You call him by his damn name, man. Jay Farrow.
We can call him that, too.
Yeah,
what up?
As soon as he sat down, he started impersonating a rapper.
Yeah. we was talking. Cuz, man, you said you had a show a couple weeks ago and Future was there. And I said, like, he was cursing, but, you know what I mean? He's so unintelligible. No, nobody knows what the f*** he's saying. So they just let slide. He was like, hey, when the f*** of the mullet made me f*** of a bad bit? And all the people like, yeah, this is great. But they didn't know he was cursing.
You can't curse.
We knew.
You can't curse.
I didn't even catch the curse he said just now when he was mimicking Future.
Now, like, what happened when Kanye was there and he had
Future? Okay, so, all right, dress rehearsal, right? Dress rehearsal was way more turned up than actual live show.
Chill, right?
What's the boy name? You should tip her, The Dream, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So the Dream misstepped. I'm sorry. So the Dream misstepped. Like, he went to the wrong place. Kanye, like, yanked him.
Whoa.
Into the right. Like, I got video footage. I just ain't gonna put it out. I feel like that'd be. I got it on my phone. I watch it just for my enjoyment.
Oh, I need to see that right now.
He like yanked him. I'll show it to you.
He wasn't mad at you for all the impersonations.
He
that
didn't.
Done him?
You know what? He didn't say anything about it. I feel like that phone call that he did like 2 years ago, that was enough for him, and that's it. Like,
he didn't even acknowledge it.
He didn't. Nah.
Did he speak to you?
Yeah, he spoke on the stage.
Did you talk to him in his voice?
Nah. I mean, I feel like I should have though. I feel like I should have.
How did y'all not do a sketch together?
Listen, man.
His sense of humor is not that great.
It got pulled. Right. So I couldn't even do it. Like, so all my Kanye sketches were just, they just were non-existent. So
now,
I was just like, oh, okay,
what
whatever.
They said happened was that they changed his set and they took everything at that. Is that really what happened?
Oh, he was mad. Right. He was mad. He was about to walk out and my boss is running by. Like, no, please. Come
Lauren?
On. Yeah. Okay. Come on, no. Come on. We have to perform. Kanye was like, all right, you know, because if it ain't right, then, you know, I don't want to do it.
Why would they do that, though? Why did they change it at the last minute?
I think they just didn't have... It was just a whole bunch. Kanye, listen.
They just wanted to F with him.
Yeah, they want to F with him. But Kanye is... Y'all know he's grandiose.
Kanye is Kanye.
He's Kanye.
Yeah, Kanye is his own verb.
He wants everything. He even... Even going to the point of telling everybody in the audience to stand up. He was like, if y'all don't stand up, I ain't gonna perform. This yay. Hey! And he said that to somebody in the audience that couldn't stand. Really? And it happened to be the host mom. Like, she couldn't stand. And she was like, oh, and she like stood up for like 2 seconds and got back. She had a cane and all that. Oh,
I thought you're not allowed to stand at SNL.
Oh, I did. Well, it's Kanye, man. I feel like that show was fun though, man.
No, that was a good show.
That was a fun show.
The best part of the whole show, and I'm not saying this because you're here, was when you was on Weekend News and you did all the impersonations.
He called it Weekend News.
What's it called?
Weekend Update.
Weekend Update.
Yeah. Weekend News.
And you did all the impersonations of all the black comedians.
Flawless.
That Thank you. Was the best part of the whole show.
First, Cat got up, right? And Cat was like...
Now, first, you gotta understand something, boo-boo. This right here, this is war. There can only be one munchkin on top, you ragged ass son of a bitch.
You know, but that's when Kevin got up, and Kev was like,
first of all, bow. Ping, pang, bow. Here's your problem. Tell you what your problem is. First of all, you got a perm. Only black man get away with a perm is Prince. And he's Prince. You're not Prince. You got the same height as Prince. I do too, but I smile. Oh my God.
And that's when Dave Chappelle stands.
Wait, hold on. Dave Chappelle was there too?
I said it was all of us, Colin.
So Chappelle's like, hold on, baby. Everybody just calm down, son. Just calm down. We black. Oh! We need to stick together. Trust me, son. Hollywood is expecting us to fail, baby. Let's just calm down. Go to Africa for a few years. Everything cools off. Oh!
I appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? We almost got 20 million hits on Facebook. I'll be checking. I'll be looking. Yeah.
I feel like it's like people seem like they just realized that you could do that.
That's what I said. Like, I feel like it's never been. I've been on the show, of course, for this is my sixth season, but I don't feel like it's ever been showcased to that caliber. Like, they've never. You've never had me go like back to back to back to back.
Yeah.
And I think that's the part that really like amazed people. I mean, my number shot up. I was like, man, I do this in the bedroom.
You can't curse. And it wasn't no
Sorry,
edits.
Jesus. Yeah.
Like, I'm watching it live, like, yeah. Yo, he just rolling.
Yeah. Chris Tucker hit me up about it.
They said you did a great job.
Yeah, he hit me up on an unidentified number, and I ain't know who it was. You see a private number on your phone. I'm like, oh, this could be an ex. Nah, I ain't answer the joint. He texted me right after. Like, yo, that was me, man. Call me back. So I hit him back.
He was like, yo, man, my dude from overseas showed me that, man. You killed that, man.
All right, we got more with Jay Farrow when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have comedian, actor Jay Farrow in the building now. You also did stuff with the First Lady. You did stuff with her before. You did some more stuff with her. How was that?
Stuff and stuff.
That was dope, dude. I was in the White House. All my family was in the White House. We were chilling. She reached out, you know, for that campaign, and it was like a dope thing to get to do because it hit number two on the Billboard. I think, or number one. It was number one on the Billboard. Mm-hmm. For like a little bit, so I had a hit song with the First Lady.
Right,
like that's a way to get some ass.
Did you impersonate Barack while you was in there, like whispering Michelle's ear, like I want to hit that ass?
I didn't, but I mean I talked to him. He was there.
Really,
he was right there.
Did he tell you like impersonate me, Jay?
No, he was like, so how are you doing? And I was like, I'm good. How old are you now? You're in 28. I said, yeah, 28. You know that? Yeah. Well, you got to know something, Jay. I believe you do a good job. I believe you do, but I think you're playing me a little too straight. I like to have fun. Turn up, bitch. I was like, yo. I said, yo, you are the GOAT. I love you, sir. Nah, it was really fun, man.
Do comedians ever get mad at you because you don't impersonate them? Like, did you get any calls that night? Like, damn, why you ain't throw me in the mix?
Well, one person was very mad.
Who?
I don't know if I really want to talk about it.
Mike Epps, Lil Duval.
It wasn't none
Gary
of them.
Davis.
It was a lady comedian. She was very upset.
Lady comedian.
Very highly upset that I didn't do her in.
Oh, she was like, you didn't put no black women in there.
Yeah, and I mean
some more.
The thing, no, what? You gonna keep? I ain't gonna tell you. Trying
He's
to
like pull
Leslie Jones?
Huh? You trying to pull out this information?
Monique, it was Leslie.
It ain't gonna happen. You Leslie keep trying mad. To pull out this information.
Leslie
huh?
got mad.
It ain't gonna happen.
It was Leslie.
You keep trying to pull out this information.
Leslie got mad. Yeah, Leslie. You should have did. You ain't rep no women, Jay.
Hey, God dang it. Don't do that right now, Charlamagne.
No, man. It was because I had nothing.
Okay.
I didn't deny nor confirm.
It was definitely Leslie.
That it was Leslie Jones.
Salute to Leslie. I've seen her in the Ghostbusters trailer. It looks very scary.
Very
scary?
Yes.
The parties that were disappointed, they just asked me. They were like, why didn't you just say it was the men's black comedians meeting? And I was like, I mean, it just basically started like this. It just evolved, but you could have changed it. And I was like, I don't know how we could have changed it. I said, I'm just doing what the white folks tell me to do, you know, to get this on. You feel me? They're my peoples. I'm their peoples. I have mingled with them. So I was just trying to,
I was just trying
to put it out like that. But I could do another one where it's a whole bunch of females. I can impersonate females.
I never heard you impersonate a female, though.
You never heard me do a female before? Uh-huh. Deidre?
Oh, who's yeah. Deidre?
Deidre is just a character I just made up.
Oh, talk okay.
Like, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, honey. Now this is what I'm talking about. Everybody here trying to turn up. You know what I'm saying? I'm finna give me a drink and just chill. Why can't I just chill? Do the word. You know what I'm saying? Everybody trying to come up here and talk to me for what reason? I don't know. I'm enjoying my damn self. Forget everybody. I ain't trying to take nobody home to nerd. To nerd. It's like a whole bunch
that
of different.
That sound a lot like Leslie Jones.
Hey, man.
It do sound a lot like Leslie.
Hey, man.
Even the way you did your lips and everything was real Leslie-ish.
Animated. Really. really animated, Charlamagne. She's really. I feel like I'm gonna do another one, but I'll go ahead and up it. But I'm not denying nor confirming who it was. I'm not saying who it was.
Shout out to Leslie. We appreciate you, Leslie, for keeping D in check, repping for the women.
Hey,
okay.
I don't know. I don't know what you speak of, sir. You keep saying it, Charlamagne. I don't know what you speak of, man.
You talking a lot of political talk? Because I know you be doing your Ben Carson impersonations.
Yeah.
You doing a lot of that in stand-up?
Yeah. I talk about everything.
Okay.
So when you see it, it's just like, I talk about politics in my show, but it's more of a views to other stuff and like connecting it. Like, you know, we could talk about everybody, but you know, I ain't supposed to, you know, here, you feel me? But at my show, I'm free. Okay. So strap up.
Word.
That's all I'm saying. Get ready. Buckle up.
Word. Yeah, say buckle up. Scrap up sounds crazy.
Yeah, no. Strap
side
up sounds like
talk about scrap up.
Condom.
Like what?
Well, there you have it. It's Jay Farrell. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
That's right, one of my OGs.
Yo, what's going on, everybody?
TK Kirkland.
Well, yeah, what's up? Show the love, show the love.
And he brought some gifts,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, TK walked in bearing gifts. Explain why you should always bring gifts, TK. You said it before the mics came on.
Yes, when you're in the presence of a young lady, and you see her more than once, you should always give her flowers to show that you're in the presence of a gentleman.
Gotcha.
When you have friends like you guys, you should always bring you guys gifts because people don't understand that to be on a show or in your presence, you have to show people that you appreciate, whether it's a shirt, let me buy you lunch.
Gotcha.
Or something like that, because what people forget in society is that you have to show people that you really care about what you're doing, because people take things for granted.
True.
And when you've been in the business as long as me, this stuff can come and go as quick as possible. And when your phone stops ringing, you're like, why? Yeah. But if you treat people good, it comes back. Just like when you guys have issues, you know, I text them and explain to them certain things. And just like when
Birdman
Baby, who's my friend, came up. And what people don't understand about Babe is that when a man or woman comes through your door, you never know what they just went through.
Yeah.
You never know what they went through.
Absolutely.
So as you guys get older, you have to take that
into consideration
right? Because Baby does deserve respect. Let me explain to you why. From Ruthless Records to Death Row to Aftermath to No Limit, Baby is still around. Now, his private life is his private life.
Right.
If he want to kiss boys, if he want to...
You just said that was your man. Okay.
But I'm just keeping 100. Okay. This is who I am. Everybody know who I am. Just because I say that don't mean I'm mad at him. Yeah. If you want to kiss boys. If you want to beat people out of their publishing, that's you. That's your private life. If you want to have sex with boys behind closed doors, long as we ain't in the room.
Allegedly. All right.
We ain't in the room. That's your own business. But on a business tip, the man's phenomenal because he got the three hottest artists in the world.
Well, not everything TK just said, but I've said the same thing. Like, yes. Just pay Wayne.
Right.
Why aren't you paying Wayne? Why would you sign the Baby if you know he don't pay?
Let me explain to you why you don't have to worry about that, because that's not your job.
Gotcha.
Your job is to report what you hear. If Lil Wayne doesn't have a proper attorney, then that's his fault. It's just like, I can't come to your house and half the house is not painted. I was like, Charlamagne, go paint the house. You're like, TK, this is my house. I can't come to your house and say, DJ Envy, your wife wants more oral sex during the week, and I need you to step your game up. I can't come with this beautiful woman. You know, I'm just being, because you don't look like you do that, because your neck structure is weak. You know what I'm saying? So I want you to start strengthening up your neck, DJ Envy. Right, you know, because your wife wants more of that. Okay. I guarantee you. And she's probably listening to my TK.
Yes, TK. Now, last time you came up here, we talked about a lot.
Yes, sir.
We talked about Eddie Murphy. We talked about so much. Now, have people been calling you comedians about that? Have they been blackballing you? What's been going on?
Do y'all know who I am? Like, I'm a gentleman. People don't cross that line with me. Mm-hmm. You know, it was the interview was an interview that put everything to rest.
Good.
Because the rumors had been out so long, and no one took the time to really talk about it.
Word.
So that's because we came here, and I didn't know y'all was famous. I'm keeping 100.
You can say that to me every time you call me. Hey, bro, I didn't know that y'all was out here like
I
this.
Didn't know. No, for real, y'all. Because I see y'all all the time. Right. And we in the club, and I just all the nice kids.
Yeah.
That's what I say about you. It's the nice kids. But in January, I started listening to y'all a lot on the radio and found out a lot about you guys, how intelligent you are. You're up on current events. How Angela is a motivational speaker to some of these young women You understand? That truly need guidance to better their lives. Because what goes on with the young ladies in our society is that the choices that they make is detrimental. Like, I saw a girl with pregnant on the bus stop.
Yeah.
I'm like, who raised you?
Mm-hmm.
You letting a guy that got no car sex you down and impregnate you and you're on the bus? Yo, this is insane, fam. So we want to encourage our men to step their game up. Because if I was president, men couldn't have sex unless they had about $50,000 in the bank.
But then we shame gold diggers.
Men who don't understand women shame gold diggers.
Break it down for me.
See, because a gold digger is just a woman who just wants a man who can provide.
Gotcha.
All men should be able to provide. Because when men want money, what do we want? We want a beautiful woman with a small waist, fat booty or whatever. Or just a nice, it's a price for that. It comes with the territory. And I tell people all the time, when you go from a Geostorm to a Bentley, you knew the insurance was going to be different?
Absolutely.
So what about you?
You don't say the same. You don't pay the same premium.
Right.
So what do you tell guys when they be like, man, I ain't paying for no.
It's not that you pay for it. You pay for it indirectly.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take a woman out to eat.
Right.
You got to take a shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And get smart. You don't have to always go buy $2,000 bags or $1,000 shoes. Mm-hmm. Sales. Find sales. Like, babe, I'm going to take you shopping. I just saw a phenomenal sale that came across my iPhone. Let's catch the sales.
Okay.
And that's where you have to be clever at. Mm-hmm. And then you want women to bring something to the table, too. See, it's a balance. Women don't take their men shopping. And when I say that, women start frowning.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm not taking my man shopping. Well, you've already lost. And men don't need much. You can buy a guy a brush, Visine, chapstick, a card. He just wants to be known at the end of the day, he's appreciated.
Absolutely. All right, we got more with TK Kirkland. When we come back, don't go anywhere. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have comedian TK Kirkland in the building. Now, Yee.
Bathrooms, right? In North Carolina, you see that they have this whole situation where they're trying to make it that whatever gender you were born, biologically, that's the bathroom you should use. But federally, they're saying, well, no, what you identify with is the bathroom that you're able to use. What do you think about that?
I know that everybody in society is trying to do the right. Nobody wants to say the real because they think if they say what's real, it causes confusion and hate. But we have to understand there's a thing called the Bible and there's a thing called faith. There's a thing called tradition. Mm-hmm. And even though these new things are coming along with Bruce Jenner and people changing their sex, we're going to respect it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not cross the boundary to the point that you put us in jeopardy to waive our morals and what we truly believe in. Everybody has the right to do what they want to do. But when you start going into bathrooms, if you got the money to do half the surgery, then don't go to the bathroom until you get the complete surgery.
Yeah.
Then, and don't come in here half-stepping. Don't cause confusion because I don't know who you are.
Do you feel like heterosexuals' rights are being taken away? Like, nobody cares about making
Man,
us comfortable.
That's
no
so true, yo. Yeah. Our society has gotten to a point to be gay or to change your gender.
Gender, thank you. Red hair, you can dye.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
Put on, put on your shirt, right?
It's sad. You can't say what you feel. And if you say what you feel, the social media is based on hate.
Yeah.
Say something positive, and won't nobody talk about it. Say something negative. By the time you get downstairs to this office, you have the whole ABC News, everybody on you.
Mm-hmm.
And the world's just based on negativity. Mm-hmm. And what we have to do, I think, sometimes when we're on shows like this, even though it's probably boring to some people, we have to give that 5 minutes of positiveness.
Yeah.
Then we go back to hating.
Right.
Because because you gotta eat.
It's a balance. Ratchetness and righteousness.
Yeah,
it's a balance.
Yo, it's the way of the world.
That's right.
And I used to think when I was coming up, did we hate? And I think we did hate. It's just that we didn't have social media to put it out there as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. Just like sometimes I hear y'all talk about racism.
Yeah.
And I don't believe in racism.
Really?
Yeah, I think racism is a made up word.
Break it down for me.
I believe people just don't like you.
But if it's just based on the color of your skin, yeah, they don't know you.
Well, you know what the confusion is?
What?
Because it's white, it's racism. But if me and you, if I don't like you, I don't like you.
If you say I don't like black people, that just means you just...
Yeah, just don't like you. You ever walked in a room and saw someone say, that person makes me uncomfortable, that person never said nothing to you, but you're like, yo, I don't like homeboy.
Yeah, his energy's off. Yeah, his energy's off.
Yeah. That's just life, fam.
Well, it's the Breakfast Club. We appreciate you joining us.
No, always, family. Always. And you know, I love you guys forever. And may your pain be champagne. T to the K.
TK Kirkland, it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, Puff Daddy.
That's right, the African
American. Yes.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning to all, everyone in the sound of my voice. May God bless you this morning to have a beautiful day and a beautiful weekend.
Now, Terrence J said you called him and threatened to kill him if he act up in a love scene with Cassie.
Nah. He did not say that. Why don't you just make the whole story up? He said you told him don't hold back.
Nah. I called him because I knew he was in a situation that, you know, may have made him feel uncomfortable. Even if it was vice versa, mm-hmm. I would have felt uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? When you're dealing with a man's woman. And
You smashed somebody's girl before, did he? Stop. In your life.
Not in a movie.
Allegedly.
I mean.
Allegedly.
But I've changed and I've grown. I just want y'all to know, like, I'm a kinder, gentler, you know, more loving me. You know what I'm saying? I got a code. You know what I'm saying? I got a code. Like, you live and you learn. Like, you know what I'm saying? I love too hard, so I just don't want nobody smashing mine. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to smash theirs, you know? So I think it goes all on karma, you know? So, you know what I'm saying? I try to at least have that. And it ain't worth it because I know people out here are crazy. You know what I'm saying? About that love thing. So, being that I want to, you know, I'm not going to say that, but I love real hard. So I wanted him to know, you know, it's a movie, man. Go do your thing. You know, I respect the arch. You know what I'm saying? You know, and
you can still, you know, come just over make... for Easter after.
Oh, yeah, no, it wasn't nothing to me like that because, you know, just me doing movies. And you have to do that. And I wanted to make sure that they was empowered with the freedom from me. Please don't think about me. Make it believable, else y'all gonna play yourselves and look like two light-skinned, pretty people, like, you know, trying to kiss. Right. You know what I'm saying? Really make the scenes be believable. Do your thing. And I'm out the way.
Does it feel weird when you're watching, like, oh, because they had a lot of sex scenes in that movie? Did you watch it?
Yeah.
I couldn't watch it.
And I watched it, and I was proud of her. I was looking at it as it was acting. You know, I mean, I was a little bit sick, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, you know, I was watching the movie. I'm like, yo, this is like the third love scene. Like, like, you know, I'm tapping her. I'm like, yo, you really in the movie? Like, they had a little screening for me. Shaquem and Terrence had a little screening for me. They was like, yo, Puff, we want to make sure that, you know what I'm saying, everything cool. Damn. So I'm looking at him, I'm like, yo, I'm like, you getting, like, smashed, like, three times in the joint. You ain't even say nothing. I'm like, where's the arc in your character? You know what I'm saying? And she's just, like, ignoring me, you know what I'm saying? And then I see the arc in her character, and I'm like, oh, whoa. You know what I'm saying? The way the movie progressed. If you haven't seen the movie The Perfect Match, you got to go see it. And just her as an actress, I was just so proud of her, so proud of Terrence putting the movie together, Shaquem, everybody. But there's an art, so it wasn't just about the love scene.
Gotcha.
Is it pressure when you're in that position? Because, you know, she wants to be a star. She wants to get things popping. And you are Diddy.
I don't really talk about my personal life.
I know, I'm just saying, yeah. Career though. But okay. is it pressure to get her popping like that?
To be famous.
Be super successful.
Nah. She's not that type of young lady. She's not trying to really be out here and trying to get hot. You know what I'm saying? She with me, so she already hot. She's hot on her own too. You know what I'm saying? So that's the beauty of her. She's not like out here thirsty, trying to, you know, be seen. She's not all over social media every second. All you know right. what I'm saying? So her approach to it is different. And she lets her talent show no matter what the naysayers are. You know what I'm saying?
She's we not all trying have to be gimmicky and do anything
nah,
for the
she,
press.
She's doing her. And she's going to be more than what people may think or may underestimate her for. And I think she showed a lot of that in the movie, what's to come in her future. Right. And her future is not directly tied to me professionally. She has her own life. She makes her own decisions. She does her own thing. You know what I'm saying?
Now you out here opening up charter schools and shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, and I'm out here opening up charter schools in Harlem.
Listen, I thought that was.
You know what I'm saying?
I think that's life goals for, you know, for a lot of people that are very, because I've always been very into education. Like, I did prep for prep here in New York, and I went to Bank Street College of Education. At one point, I thought I was going to be a teacher. So I think it's great that you've opened up this charter school. I was like, wow, Diddy's opening up schools. So tell us a little bit about that and what made you decide to do that. And I know you have your partner here.
Steve Perry. That's Steve not Perry. A Muslim shooter. That's
no.
Yeah. Yeah. Partner's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got the school colors and the bow tie, brother.
Yeah. Well, I have my partner who helped it to come to fruition. I was watching CNN. Education is something that's very near and dear to me. And a lot of people don't know that because a lot of people don't know I've been working on this for 6 years. Mm. And I saw him, and he had 100% graduation rate. And he had a lot of at-risk students that were not even supposed to be passing in school, that were probably behind 3 grades. He was able to turn them around and create a curriculum and teach them and inspire them and make them accountable and responsible for their futures. And getting to them early is so important, that we get to our kids early. And I feel like the reason why I was able to be successful was because I was blessed with my mother really, like, busting her butt to really give me a great education. And I wanted to do something bigger than opening up a community center or just giving a donation. I wanted to do something that was long-term. I'm not a sprinter, I'm a marathon runner. I didn't just run a marathon to run it. It was something for my life that I wanted to be, you know, a metaphor of my whole life. And with this school, that's, you know, it's my next marathon. I'll let him tell you the rest of the story from there.
So he kept saying, this is something that means something to me. I don't want to do an after-school program. I don't want to do, those are all dope and that's nice, but I want a school we can train young people to be leaders. Mm-hmm. You know, there would be those who question, why would you work with a brother who doesn't have a background in education? He has a capacity to communicate with young people that is unrivaled in our generation. Mm-hmm. Just in a day of announcing it, applications have quadrupled. Mm-hmm. The number of people who want to work in the school have quadrupled.
How many students in the school?
So they're gonna be 180, but we have almost 1,000 on the waiting list today.
Wow.
What grades?
It's gonna ultimately be grades 6 to 12, but we're starting with 6 and 7. It's a year-round college preparatory school. The theme is social justice. So we're training young people to be social entrepreneurs and leaders in the community, not just learning to learn, but learning to make an impact on the community. That's what he said he wanted. I wish you guys could see just how positive the reaction from the entire community has been. They're just celebrating, like, that's my man. Get him, Puff. Get him. And it's just exciting.
Got the school free?
Yeah.
The school is absolutely
free.
Yeah. Along with the city, along with some great donors, along with some, we need donations, we need money. I'm putting up my own money. It's going to be great.
All right,
we got more with Puff when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, don't forget, make sure you follow me on Snapchat. Sir NV1 is mine. Somebody took DJ MV.
Well, I don't know why you did Sir. That's so weird.
I couldn't think of anything else.
All right. Well, mine is Team Yee.
Why don't you just do Angela Yee?
Someone took it.
What about you?
C to God 7. C-T-H-A-G-O-D 7.
Somebody took it, too.
It was 6 other C to Gods.
You know Alice in the Looking Glass comes out today, right?
That's right. And they have their own Snapchat filter. It'll transform you into the Mad Hatter.
Now, just so y'all know, when I was younger, I did play Alice in Alice in Wonderland. So I know a lot about this.
Okay.
Now, I could see you transforming into the Mad Hatter with the Snapchat filter. Now, Charlamagne, I could see you as a Cheshire Cat. Now, you guys can go ahead and use these filters, and you can send or post or tweet those photos also.
Alice Through the Looking Glass is in theaters in IMAX 3D now. It's rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Go check it out.
And this is nothing like Alice in Wonderland. Forget everything you knew about Alice in Wonderland, because time has changed everything. I was actually Alice after she shrunk.
All right, we got more with Puff when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Everybody's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Puff in the building.
Now, I just want to say, I did see the picture of your daughters wearing the Sean John. So I see you have the Sean John girls line. They are so cute. I love
Thank
to
you.
See your little girls and how yes. great dad you are.
Well, that was the big thing when social media started. That was a big thing for me. I really felt like fathers, especially fathers of color, were getting such a bad rap. Mm-hmm. Like we don't do nothing with our kids. We just some lazy, you know, partying Negroes. We don't even do nothing with our kids. There's so many fathers that have stepped up. This hip hop generation and culture has bred fathers that are taking responsibility, that love being with their kids, that love their children, that are raising them the right way, raising them purposely. You can't be like me. You got to be better than me. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I wanted to make sure that I glorified that. You know what I'm saying? And made that, do my best to make that into a trend. Right. And that's really what I represent.
And you know, that marriage.
Yeah.
Don't do it now. No. That's no news. What? Why? What's the point?
Listen, it's you never know what's to come in the future. You know, where my mind is at now, where my soul is at now could be different, you know, tomorrow, you know, and you know, that's all I'm gonna say about that also.
I'm gonna keep it so smooth.
I'm gonna stay so smooth this morning.
You know, girls got mad at you last time when you was here with the 75-25.
Yeah, yo, check this out, ladies.
The guys loved it.
Check this out.
But I had to let some guys know y'all not dating. Yo. So y'all can't, your little 25% or 75%.
Try it with you then.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm gonna tell y'all, I gotta be honest, it ain't work, y'all. It ain't work. Let me be the first one to tell y'all. The 75-25, I tried it.
It's not. Yo,
we seen the picture deleted off Instagram. He's like,
hey, yo, man. Hey, yo, check this out. Damn. Hey, yo, man, it got rough.
We went 100%.
Hey, yo, I mean, she may be light-skinned, but she black is blacker than black, boy. She got a mouth on her. It's crazy. It is just, it wasn't going down. And I'm sorry, baby, I shouldn't have got on radio even being loose like that. You know what I'm saying? I was feeling myself.
We're not finna get loose.
Hey, yo, I was feeling myself, baby, and I don't know. Whatever's in my mind needs to stay in my mind sometimes.
He got too many brothers.
I want to tell y'all the truth. It ain't going to work. Even if that's what you feel, you just don't need to be saying certain things on the radio as a black man named Puff Daddy. Ladies, check this out. I am such a Karen romantic guy, you know what I'm saying? Any woman that I've dealt with, I take care of to the fullest, and I love, and you know, I really do give 150%. So I don't know what I was talking about.
But isn't it
impossible? I didn't agree with you.
Isn't it impossible for you to do that though? Because you got so much other stuff going on between work and family.
Yeah, you know something. There's some honesty that was there that I was trying to get across, but at the same time, it wasn't respectful, you know what I'm saying, to the relationship that I was in, and just even any of my past relationships. And I don't really think that way. I was just trying to figure out, like, you know, as I was growing, it was part of my growth. Right. I was like, yo, I don't, you know, I was just trying to figure it out in math, how to reason with the situation, but it didn't work out that way. Some things you gotta, you know, articulate more by, like, just action and keep your mouth shut. And so, to all of
you,
yeah. No,
if polygamy was legal, right? If polygamy
I'm gonna be
was
quiet.
Legal, you could have more than one wife. Would you do it?
It's a setup, Puff.
Don't do that.
Set up. Chill out, Kenny.
Set up. Puff, I've been married a long time.
Listen, Charlamagne, this is my new answer to you, Charlamagne. I don't talk about nonsense.
There you go. Now, when new life. Now, when the press took a picture of you and J-Lo at the AMAs.
Yeah.
When you went home, how was that conversation? Do you have to play babies, just a picture?
Yeah, I'm
they were like, y'all back together. And the
press
J-Lo
had her boyfriend.
But you know what we're not going to do? This is the last thing we're going to do. We're not going to open up the door to personal life. That's one thing I definitely, I know everybody has a job to do, but you have to guard your personal life. Everything ain't everybody's business, y'all. I'm going to tell you right now. All I've right. made mistakes. I've seen certain people do it. Everything is not everybody's business. You ain't got to even be famous. It ain't nobody's business what you going through and with your personal life with you and your woman, man. That's between you and your woman. Keep that thing right there sacred. My woman, at the end of the day, you know, she ain't have a problem with it. She had some questions. she asked some questions, but nah, you know, Casper was there, you know what I'm saying? Me and Jennifer, people gonna be friends, man. People gonna grow, and you know, any of my exes, they smile and they happy to see me, you know what I'm saying? And that's all that was about, you know? And, you know, I answered the question and we kept it moving.
Well, there you have it.
Brooklyn way.
Sean Combs.
It's Puff Daddy.
Yeah.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Hey.
the donkey of the day.
That's pretty funny.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Doggy of the day goes to Miss Stacey Dash. Now, anybody who knows me knows that I have a list of women who I would love to suck a fart out their butt. I'm married now, so that list is retired, unless, of course, my wife is involved, but that's a whole nother story. But on that list was five women: Jennifer Lopez, Serena Williams, Kelly Rowland, Patti LaBelle, and Miss Stacey Dash.
Really?
You know that. You've been working with me for 5 years. Oh. Now, see, that was a time when Stacey Dash was seen more than she was heard from, okay? I mean, we heard her talk, but it was usually when she was acting, whether it was the classic Clueless or more recently season one of Single Ladies. That season was fire, by the way. Trash after that. But Stacey Dash wasn't someone you heard from too often outside of acting. But over the years, she's resurfaced and found herself as a part of the Fox News family. I don't have a problem with that. In fact, I salute it. Drop one of Clues bombs for, you know, Stacey Dash being a Fox News commentator, because only in America you can go from being on the cover of King Magazine and Black Men's Magazine to being a Fox News commentator. All right, I respect the glow up, but even though I respect everyone's right to an opinion, certain things that come out of Stacey Dash's mouth make me wish that all she had was an Instagram and not a Twitter. Yeah, Stacey Dash is one of those people that I would rather look at and not hear from, okay? She reinforced my feelings when she appeared on Fox and Friends this past Wednesday, and she was asked about the outrage over the lack of Black Oscar nominees, and she had this to say.
We have to make up our minds. Either we want to have segregation or integration. And if we don't want segregation, then we need to get rid of channels like BET and the BET Awards and the Image Awards, where you're only awarded if you're Black. If it were the other way around, we would be up in arms. It's a double standard. Just like there shouldn't be a Black History Month. You know, we're Americans, period. That's it.
Mm-mm-mm. Okay.
Okay. Where do we start?
Stacey Dash. Well, first of all, let's be clear on what Stacey said before I retook. Can we hear it one more time? Just one more time, please.
We have to make up our minds. Either we want to have segregation or integration. And if we don't want segregation, then we need to get rid of channels like BET and the BET Awards and the Image Awards, where you're only awarded if you're Black. If it were the other way around, we would be up in arms. It's a double standard. Just like there shouldn't be a Black History Month. You know, we're Americans, period. That's it.
Stacey Dash, we made up our minds about segregation or integration a long time ago, 1964 to be exact, when the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was established and segregation was abolished, okay? Now, I'm totally with segregation. I feel like segregation should have been based on behavior, not race. It's a lot of you crazy-ass mofos. I do not want eating where I eat, living where I live, hanging out where I hang out, but it's because of how you act, not because of your race. But Stacey, when you say it has to be segregation and integration, it makes no sense, because you know as well as I do that racial segregation was abolished by the Civil Rights Act in 1964, and segregation being abolished is the reason Black people are complaining about not being properly represented at the Oscars, because we have the right to be there, period. Now, the second part of your verbal scream of foolishness, getting rid of Black History Month in BET. Stacey Dash, listen, boo, you need to know Black History Month isn't a form of segregation. Black history is a part of American history, and if America is the great American melting pot, all these different cultures living here, there's nothing wrong with the individuals in this country recognizing and celebrating themselves. You also need to know that niche programming like BET, that's not segregation either. Telemundo is a Spanish-speaking language station. We is Women's Entertainment Network. Logo is for the LGBT community.
That's Telemundo.
Whatever. All niche programming for a specific community, only one you want to get rid of is BET. Why we got to get rid of BET? Why we got to get rid of Black History Month? Do you want us to get rid of Women's History Month? What about Asian Pacific Heritage Month? What about Hispanic Heritage Month? What about Jewish Heritage Month? What about Italian Heritage Month? What about National American Indian Month? Why do Black people always call for Black people to get rid of things that represent us? If you was calling for other communities to get rid of their months and their networks, then I would have nothing to say. But you specifically targeted Black people for no damn reason. America is more than just Black or white. And if we all said F our cultures and weren't coaches specific about things, the world would be very confusing. I like Googling for Jamaican restaurants and Italian restaurants and Greek restaurants. I love Chinese food. I love the fact that I live in a country that allows me to experience other people's cultures, and nobody should be calling for anyone to drop what they are. Yes, I'm American, but I'm African-American, and I'm allowed to recognize and represent my culture, right, whether it's a TV network or a month. And if the
Chinatown, Little Italy.
Talk that talk,
Telemundo.
Listen, I don't speak the language. I don't watch it, okay? All right.
All I'm saying is, if the determining factor in us not having a month is because white people don't have a month or white people don't have a specific network, then that's a foolish argument, simply because everything else in America is tailor-made for white people. Majority rules. It is what it is. All the other networks that don't cater to a specific community are white networks. All the other months that don't cater to a specific group are white months. White people will be fine, okay? They run things in this country. We don't even got a black skin band-aid. So if that's your argument, that we shouldn't have one because white people don't have one, that's foolish, all right? Rep your clique, fool. Recognize you're American, but recognize and celebrate whatever else you are, too. Can we please, please give Stacey Dash the biggest hee-haw?
And I don't know if you saw BET's response.
What'd they say?
They put up a picture of her on The Game and said, "So, Stacey Dash, can we get our check back or nah? Remember, you were on The Game, and we don't mean the rapper." Okay, and Stephen Hill also responded. Stephen Hill, who is the president of programming at BET, he said, "Oh, dang, I loved you in Clueless. I had no idea that you actually were."
Oh, who wrote that for you, Steve? Drop one of Clues bombs for Stephen Hill's writers, baby.
Hey, Steve.
He wrote that.
Stephen Hill wrote that.
Stephen Hill called about eight
he's
people.
He's pretty clever.
Nah, he wrote that himself.
And I don't know if you saw what Bun B wrote also.
I did see Bun B's.
He said, everyone that don't know what that, he put up a picture of Stacey Dash. For everyone that didn't know that looks don't mean a damn thing if the inside of you is ugly as F, here's your proof. Her black skin drives her crazy, and as hard as she tries to separate herself from the black community, she doesn't even realize her token role is a pawn in their game. You're black. Hating yourself and us won't make them love you. The best you'll ever hear is you're not like the rest of them. And if that works for you, then cool.
Listen, I would have had no problem if she'd have called out everybody else. Like, she act like there's only a Black History Month and there's only a Black Entertainment Network. No, it's specific months for specific cultures all throughout this country. Specific networks for different people.
Are you going to say Telemundo right, man?
Listen, I don't watch Telemundo. You know why I don't watch Telemundo? Because I don't speak Spanish. Okay?
Oh, okay. That's a good reason.
But they can rep their click. All right?
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today, sir.
Yes.
Angie Martinez, when we come back, keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
Woo, woo.
Now, we have to blur out this lady's face because it's on Diddy's Revolt Network.
Well,
and Diddy, really, after reading the book, doesn't want her.
Stop it. No, I think they're clean.
After reading the book, I think they're clean.
They clean now?
Yeah.
Oh, so your face is not blurred? All right. Yeah.
Angie Martinez is there.
You're making me nervous at the top.
First of all, this book, my voice is amazing.
Thank you. Angie
does not like compliments, but this book is a testament
book.
And a documentation of a classic career and classic stories, and I love it.
Envy read the book, and he hasn't read a book in 15 years.
That alone is very exciting.
Yes. He read it. I'm going to tell you why he read it. Me and Angie Lee came in here one day, and we was like, yo, fam, Angie smoked crack.
I said, not only did she smoke crack, but the song, The Ten Crack Commandments, was originally her song.
Yes, y'all like to come full circle?
I hate this interview already.
I need to read this.
This is going
to
be the
Everybody was like, how many times did she smoke crack? Was she a crackhead?
I asked all those questions. And she did it with a pipe.
Stop it.
And she had plans to do it again on New Year's.
So wait a minute. Wait. So this is what it takes for you to want to read a book? This is what it takes.
I didn't believe him. I said, no.
No, you should have seen his eyes. He was like,
what? It was a mistake. Oh, God. Oh, that's going to be the headline. It was a mistake.
How do you make a mistake and smoke crack?
It was a mistake. I mean, it was a mistake in terms of, I was a kid. I didn't know. Yeah. It wasn't a big epidemic yet. It wasn't known to everybody. So it was just another way to smoke weed or whatever that was in there.
The only reason we let you explain it is because we don't want to make it seem like you
like
really
I'm a crackhead. No, please, it was an accident.
I think that's a great comeback. You started off a crackhead and now look at you. That's a great way to sell a book.
Shut the hell up.
It was one time though. I just want to make it clear.
It was one time and it was kind of an accident. And I mean, it was stupid. Look, come on, I never smoked crack. Okay, but you probably did
either.
Something as a kid where you were like,
I smoked coke with weed before.
Okay, well, what? Well, it's the same thing. That was
crack is fried cocaine.
Okay, but we know that now. I didn't know that in the moment until literally after it happened, and I'm watching the news, and I was like, oh, gosh.
I was like, maybe I should smoke crack then. because I want to have a nice career like Angie.
Not really.
Is that what it did?
How was the high, though? Seriously, how was the high?
I'd say it in the book. That's the thing. Is
you
like
said it was great.
She said it was amazing. Well, said,
y'all made plans to do it again. I'm why? Like, why didn't y'all do
Let
it again?
Let me tell you, all the pages, this is like half a paragraph. And now the whole book is going to be about this.
That's all it took was one bad review, a crack for you to stop on the news?
That was it, yeah. No, because it wasn't. It was like a special. And it, then all of a sudden, then maybe it was out already and people were talking. Maybe I wasn't paying attention.
Gotcha.
Until I had, then you do it, and then you're like, oh, I think that's what just happened to me.
No, I feel you. I did ecstasy before, and then I saw that special, a family on ecstasy.
And then you were like,
and I was like, oh, whoa.
Maybe I should not.
That's what this was. Let me never do this again.
Let me chill out.
Friends on crack still? Like, because crack is very addictive.
That's a good question. That special may not have affected your friends the way it did you, Angie.
First of all, friends. First of all, it wasn't like my friends. It was like some kids that I hung out with at my grandmother's house in her neighborhood in the park. It was just bad influences. And who knows? I don't know what happened to them. I haven't seen them. They weren't like my friends. They were like the kids.
Thank God.
They were like the kids from my grandmother's block.
Okay.
I'm glad you got better friends.
Thank you, man. Yeah, none of my friends.
Absolutely. Okay. Seems like you've always been a pretty private person. So was it hard? Because you like kind of gave up a lot.
Yeah, I did. I know.
And I'm like, Angie, don't talk like this.
And it's strange how comfortable I feel about it.
Yeah.
I feel like I gave myself an out. So when I started writing, I was like, I'm going to just write everything as it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, with everybody, with my family, with my, like, whatever. Let me just write it as it is. Mm-hmm. And then I'll assess. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be like, I could either cut, do all that. But once it's out and you realize, like, everything happens for a reason, even that, even the crack thing, I use that as an example to say, like, I have compassion for people who have addictions and who go down bad roads because of things like that. Mm-hmm. So I think everything in my story, in my life, is for a reason. So there's nothing I'm ashamed of. And so I just wrote it and then I was like, all right.
What about other people that you're telling stories about, some of these people in my book? And maybe some of them are not going to be in the most flattering light in their opinion, but it's your story and what really happened, you know, from your point of view. Did you have to say, okay, let me let them know?
I keep saying that I'm going to. I haven't made the calls yet, but maybe before. Maybe today when I leave here, I'll make those calls.
I wouldn't. I'll make them buy a copy.
I'm torn about it because I feel like whatever happened, people know happened. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying anything that's not true, number one. And it's.
But you went a little in on some people about your feelings.
But those are my feelings.
Yeah, it's real.
Those are, I don't talk about.
True.
It's not from a judgmental or I'm trying to hurt nobody. I'm just telling you, like, what my route is and how I learned lessons because of things that happened. So as long as it's under that umbrella, I felt okay with it. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like I hurt anybody, like, anybody's life.
Do people hit you and say, did you put me in the book?
I get that all the time. I'm like, first of all, you're not even in the book. I don't know why. People that, like, I kind of know, they're like, did I make the book? I'm like, no, I'm so sorry.
You know what surprised me about the book? Finances with you.
You was terrible with money.
I was terrible.
You was that bad?
Were you so that surprised?
I was very surprised.
You didn't have those problems when you started?
No.
You got evicted.
Really? Twice.
I've been in that situation once where I had to go to court.
But were you already known and on the radio? And
good thing was the apartment was my wife's name. So when I got fired from Wendy, she had to end up going to court.
Right.
But it was just that feeling like, damn,
but you were so popping. You were doing every, you were on radio. You were doing every club. I was like, wow.
You was getting that cash.
And why?
Then I was down at that eviction notice like this with the hoodie on. Like, oh, God, why did this happen to me?
You didn't pay any bills?
I just was irresponsible. I just was, I had never really learned how to do that. And so it was like, you know, you get an envelope of cash and you just spend it.
Right.
And I was ripping. I'm talking about from morning to night, working in the club and come home. So, you know, my mailbox, I would check it like, you know, once every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't something that.
Opening those bills weren't important and paying
it. It wasn't.
A lot of people feel like that even now.
I think one thing you didn't, I don't think you explained it. How did you and Mary get so cool that you could pick up the phone and ask her for some money? This was Mary was popping at this time.
Yeah, but Mary, you know, I don't want to ever tell her business, but, you know, Mary has gone through things in her life, too, and we've both been friends to each other during those times. I think Mary trusts me, and I've always trusted her. Even in this, even writing a story about something that she helped me, I'm going to let her know, like, you know, I'm telling the story, you know, so she knows. And I think she just, you know, we came up at the same time. So she's putting her first album out. I'm just getting started popping on the radio. It was her. She would listen to the radio, and then she'd come up to my show, and she was like, I love you so much on the radio. And we just, I don't know, we just clicked. And then we would go out, and we hang out, and then,
you know, she has some things going on in her life. And we just were always, we're both Capricorns. We have like a very, I don't know, a unique kind of understanding of each other.
I just want to see the footage.
Even to now, like, even now.
And Mary and Angie going into a check cashing place.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
In the middle. Why did she have a check on her?
I don't know why. I love that story because I don't, it's so her. She's so regular. She's such a regular girl. You know what I'm saying?
By the way, if you mix those two stories, the crack story and the, looking for a check cashing place, can't find one in the hood, it kind of go together.
Why of all the stories in the book, those are the two things that you are negative ass resonated to.
That's what saddens me about the book, though, is because it's like y'all era, you'll never see that again. Like you and Mary coming up together.
Jay-Z coming by the office.
Before he was whole.
Listen to my album in the car.
We're not getting that.
Some of those things I just take for granted. Well, everybody knows these stories. You know, everybody knows that Jay-Z and R. Kelly got into something at the Garden and pulled the show in the middle of the show and then came up to the radio station and interviewed with me at 2 a.m. Everybody knows that story. But then you write these stories and you start talking to people. I did colleges last week and I'm telling these stories and they're like, what?
It doesn't seem real. Like even reading it, I'm like, yo, this really happened.
It makes me realize how important it is to document it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like a lot of stories, especially radio things that happen on the radio, they're just for some reason like not well documented. I don't know what that, why, or you know everything about artists, you know everything about videos because it's all visual. You see it on TV. But the stories that happen on radio, who documents that?
You're right.
All right, well, we have more with Angie Martinez when we come back. Keep it locked. Don't go anywhere. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Angie Martinez in the building. She has a new book called My Voice. Now, I was really surprised you got so personal in this book. You gave so much of your personal life.
But you can't write about your life and not share
it. Make it personal.
We know
you
hated Diddy. Like, we know, like, it was just the inside.
Hate is a terrible
word.
You
hated Diddy at one point.
You said you
he wasn't
like,
my
you,
favorite
you
person at one point.
You hated Diddy. Like,
as we broadcast on Revolt, we both have come a very long way.
Because when we worked in the other building, it was like, don't F with Diddy, Ange, don't F with Diddy, so nobody F's with Diddy. That's what it was.
That's a damn lie.
That's the
plenty
truth.
Of people messed with him. I just chose to not because we didn't have the best relationship and I didn't want to ever have to fake it. And we never talked about it. I guess we should probably talk about it after this, especially since this airs on Revolt. But, you know, we've come a long way, man. I tell a story about him being super supportive during the marathon and donating all that money. And, you know, he's who he is.
But what was it about him that you didn't like?
It was just moments. You read the book.
I'm saying it for people who are listening.
There were
Angie.
Moments that happened. Well, they could read the book, too.
Yeah, I don't want to give it away, but I can.
There are moments that happened where, you know, his agenda was different than mine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was aggressive about his agenda as I was mine.
Yeah.
And so sometimes that just kind of bumped heads.
He ran up on you one time.
Well, ran up is strong.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like.
Let's sell the book, Angie. He ran up on you, and you
he
said
put me in a headlock. He forced me to smoke crack.
Then we did the 10 crack commandments.
And then he threw all my belongings out of my apartment, and I was evicted. I was homeless because of Puffy.
And then you did give some of your Tupac interview in here as well.
Yeah, I shared some of that.
That says a lot about your character because. I know for me, if that was me and I went out there.
You would have totally aired it.
Immediately. Everything. Let's go. I'm like, let's go. You won't believe what Pop said.
Here's the thing. I love that about you. Mm-hmm. And I like, and I respect different people's perspectives on how they choose to use their mics, on how they choose. Because it's important to have different voices. You know, it's important to have people who just want to tell it as it is, point blank. What I've learned is that I can't bend myself to do what other people do. Like, if I spent my day trying to be Charlamagne, I would fail miserably.
Right.
And you need security.
And I would need security. And then that's one of the things. It's like there's a place for all these different type of voices. And it took me a while to really appreciate my own and want to make sure that I'm always true to it.
What made you tell that story?
What story? The Pac story?
Talked about his relationship with Faith. And you talked about that story.
That was honestly, if I could be honest, that was one of the milder stories.
Really?
Yeah. It was, yeah.
That was a mild story?
Uh-huh. The way he told it.
That was a milder story. And honestly, one of the reasons I dreaded ever putting stuff out was because of how it would affect outside people that weren't involved. Mm-hmm. You know, but at this point, I'm starting to realize that it's part of history.
Yeah,
for me to protect. I think everybody's kind of moved on with their lives at this point.
So you're going to let that interview go?
The whole 2 hours?
I am at some point.
Really?
And you know what upsets me is that I've been trying to reach Pac's mom for the past like couple of months I've been trying to get with her to try to talk to her about a couple of things, about what her thoughts were. I really wanted to be respectful about however it comes out. Mm-hmm.
and also she has the original. I put a note in there that Pocket sent me, right. And his mom has the original. So I was trying to get in touch with her for both of those things, and unfortunately she passed. So I'm not sure where it's going to happen, but it just has to be, like, respectful and done well at this point. It's been so long.
Now, you said you didn't want to put it out because you didn't want to cause problems, but then Pac and Big both got killed.
Yeah, but imagine they would have both got killed and I would have put it out. Yeah. I would have forever,
like, you feel that. Yeah,
I would have held that. Like, did I have something to do with that? Right. Is it because of the, you know, I would have always worried. That's, I'm so grateful that I didn't, because honestly, I would have lived with that forever.
I agree with a lot of the moves that you made in the book, like, because I feel like a lot of stuff that Angie Martinez did, if I was in that same situation, I'm like, I probably would have did the same thing.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like a sense of responsibility to other people and not causing more issues than necessary, especially when something can be violent the way that it was, and as harsh as it was in
that time. It's crazy when you think about that time and how hostile it was and how, I mean, you remember, like, everybody, it was real. Like, it wasn't like a gossip blog. It was scary. It was, like, real. You felt like people were going to get touched. And
people did.
And they did. But you didn't know to what extent, how many. Like, it just felt like it felt very dark, like a bad time. It was a bad time.
One of the gems I would say I got from you and watching you is, what people don't understand is, you know how to do everything. Like, you know how to cut your own interviews.
She was cutting her tape.
You know how to run your own boards. Yeah. And you're real anal with that. Like, if somebody works with Ange, you got to know she wants it perfect. And people don't know that about you. Like, you do everything. Yeah. You don't let nobody do anything. To this day, you still sit over there cutting your own interview. I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Angie's gotten a few fired over here for not being on point. You know what I'm saying? It happens.
But that's not my fault. That's whoever's, that person's fault. It's like, you know, I can't. And I think as I've gotten older and more, like, I just can't tolerate being, like, somebody that's not good. I just can't tolerate people who are lazy or people who are not committed. I'm committed to what I do. Mm-hmm. So if you are part of my team, I need you also to be committed to whatever your piece of that is. But, like, editing, I still take pride in my stuff. So I feel like until I have another Angie Martinez next to me who can edit it and know exactly what I want to do, then I got to do it myself.
Will there ever be another Angie Martinez? Because you don't see kids doing the internships the way that we did coming up and things of that nature, working in the promo department.
Yeah, because they're lazy.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know how to tell kids to be a radio personality anymore.
Yeah, I know. Probably a different path. It's a different, like, you have to go online. I guess online. It's people that are becoming celebrities in other places.
And, stuff,
and then wind up. It's just a different path. But the work ethic and the drive has to still be there. You know, you can't do exactly what you did or I did or any of us did. You should take from it the work ethic and the drive and the time you put into what you do.
All right, we have more with Angie Martinez when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, we have Angie Martinez in the building. She has a new book called The Voice.
The foreword is by J. Cole. A lot of people, first of all, I didn't know so many people didn't know what a foreword was, because people were like,
I know. They're like, what does that mean? Yeah, why is his name on your book? I'm like, come on, fam.
Honestly, that's the only thing I didn't like about the book.
And
I liked what he wrote, but I just didn't feel like
what made you choose J. Cole
fit this.
I
feel like it should have been Jay-Z or somebody.
I feel opposite because I think my space in the culture is that, like, you know, I have this history, but I'm also still very much in it. I mean, you could check my ratings in the afternoon. We're
go
still
drop one of Cooler Bar. Talk Angie Ma.
What it look like?
No, I'm very grateful for them. But we have amazing numbers in the afternoons. And so it's like I feel I have, like, one foot in this side and one foot in this side, and which is a unique position to be in. Mm-hmm. The thing about Cole is I feel like Cole is really a student of the culture. Like, he's somebody who cares. And so in telling my story to not just the people that were there, but telling my story to people that are new and may not know these stories, he's the perfect person to kind of deliver it.
Gotcha.
To that. And he also speaks to the fact that there's things to be learned from the way we came up and the way that, you know, radio was at that time and hip hop was at that time. So it was perfect. And I think he's amazing. And it was the perfect one. I think Jay would have been, like, so predictable and so, like, what could he say that hasn't already been said in terms of, like,
we don't know. That's the surprise.
Maybe he could. Maybe he could have. Maybe he could have.
Part two, then.
But maybe part two. Maybe, yeah. Maybe the second book, he'll grace me with a foreword.
Speaking of Hov, he used to let you hear all his albums before you put them out. Mm-hmm. Was there ever any songs you told him was whack that still ended up being hits?
Yeah, probably his biggest song ever was Hard Knock Life. I hated it.
Really?
I did. I hated it. Because I used to love the Andy soundtrack. And I just was like, you should, come on. This is, I thought it was like corny.
You thought it was corny?
I did. I thought it was corny.
I didn't like it at first.
Like, this is terrible. No, I didn't say it was terrible. But I was like, it's all right. Are you going to single? Like, I don't think, and of course, it's, you know, it's one of his biggest songs ever.
What did he say after that?
I think he just would always take opinion and just kind of take it for what it was. I don't think it was like, he's like, I'm going to change my single now because you don't like it. I don't think it was that. But I think he liked to, the same way it's like I gave this book to a few people and it's so like, especially when you guys gave me feedback, people who are in your career who, it's, you know, it's important to hear what you resonated to, what you liked, what you didn't like. So I think for him it was the same thing. And I think he trusted me. And so that became like a thing that we
used to. Are you at the point where you realize that you and your peers are indeed legends?
I don't know.
Come on.
One of the college kids asked me the other day, when did you feel like you made it? I was like, I still don't feel like I made it. I still feel like I want to do films. I want to write a movie script. I want to do TV. I want to
do... This book could be a movie.
I was talking about that the other day. I was thinking...
Because I could see everything as like it was happening in
like
my head.
Like a mix between like a modern, like coming of age, like a Brown Sugar.
You hitting the crack pipe in the trail will be crazy.
I hate you.
Crazy.
It could be like...
I mean, there's love stories. There's fights. There's work, there's struggle, then there's success.
You talked about your love life, which was surprising.
You couldn't wait to get to that.
So. Man, there was one guy in there. I didn't even know you dated him, and I know him too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, from back in the day. When I used to work at Wu-Tang, he worked at Loud.
Oh, yes.
You didn't say his name, though.
Yes, she did. That's how I knew who
it was. There was one guy you didn't say his name.
I thought you and Tip was always a cute couple.
You and Q-Tip were the first hip hop, one of the first hip hop power couples.
The first hip hop power couple, yep.
Yeah, but we were so, like, people didn't really know. No, we were very kind of just, like, below the radar, so we didn't.
Until you fought Wendy Williams.
Who knew you could fight like that?
Hold on, don't get off the Q-Tip thing so fast now. Because you know, they tell a lot of women nowadays.
What's happening to my life?
They tell a lot of women in radio nowadays, don't mix the business with the pleasure.
I mean, you know, it's for whoever. Some people, I guess it works for. Some people, it doesn't. I dated somebody, then I dated somebody who wasn't. It doesn't matter. It just depends who the person is.
It's who you like.
It's who you like, and it's how well they deal with what you do.
Right. And how much they
Because that was the thing
you.
With the, why I would mention any guy in there is because to tell you some of the challenges of being a woman, it's like, you know, when your man's like, what are you going to interview Tupac for?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think girls need to know that. I think girls need to...
I put myself in that situation. I'm like, if my girl...
That's why we wouldn't have made it.
Exactly. With a bunch of niggas in the room. And
go out there with
them. Yeah, I'm going with you. Hey,
what are you talking about?
We going. Like, I feel you,
though, Angie, because I wouldn't want to date a guy that would have an issue with me going to do something that could be one of the biggest things in my career ever.
This is what I'm saying. Who especially when you're... That? It's one thing if you're married and you have 4 or 5 kids. That's a different type of relationship. When you're in your young 20s and you're dating somebody who is not on board with what your vision is for your life, you got to keep it pushing.
Bye.
You know what I'm saying?
Bye.
Not that you're a bad guy, but you're not on my track right now. And the couple of relationships that I do talk about, it's the same. They didn't work for the same reason. It's like, you're not going where I'm going, and so it's not going to work.
Did you ever get in dumb arguments? Like, you'd be like, yo, Midnight Marauders is classic. Like, yo, you just saying that because you're dating Tip.
It is classic.
It's classic.
Super classic. Super duper classic. No, I don't know. People didn't really know at the time. I think most people knew, like, after we broke up.
Yeah.
Then we weren't together for many years, and we were good friends, and people thought we were dating. I'm like, you're so late on that. So but there wasn't a lot of those.
Did he lose a lot of music in that situation?
Yeah.
I don't want to say. I'm talking about a tribe music that was already done that nobody maybe even heard.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, all types of stuff. Oh, my God, that was terrible.
Mm.
They're talking about the fire. Yeah, it was. I'm sure music, beats, songs that were completed, samples, all of that.
Now, y'all were arguing at that time. Did he think that you set the house on fire first?
Jesus
Christ.
Did that
ever run through his mind? Because y'all were arguing. You
Angie is not like that.
Angie was smoking crack in Tip's basement. And that's what caused the house to catch on fire. Okay?
I hate you so much. I really hate you.
because that's
going to be the headline on Baller Alert.
Now, it's one part of the book where you just up and left your baby daddy.
Oh, wow.
What did he say?
You are
that?
Really. Wow.
I don't want to give up what happened, but.
Let's leave that in the book. Yeah. Let's leave that for the book.
But I will say
I was a little bit careful of that just because family and my son and everything. But also, there was a lesson. Listen, anything that I share, and if somebody else gets into it, I'm sorry. But honestly, I've learned something from all of those situations.
Right. And shout out to Tiffany. Tiffany, like your best friend.
Salute to Tiffany. Salute to Nikki. Salute to Nikki. Yeah, salute to Nikki. Salute to Pekka's. Like, that's the good thing about this book, too. It makes you respect other people in your life.
Right.
It's like, yo, they really been down since day one.
Yeah.
There's only one other thing we need you to do. We need you to break dance. Before you leave.
You saw that breakdancing picture in the book?
You see that picture of you breakdancing in the book.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen today, though. But thank you, though. Thank you for the opportunity. But that's not going to happen today.
There's a lot more in this book that we didn't even get remotely discussing. That's the problem with talking about books and movies nobody's seen.
I know.
You know what I mean? But go get this book. If you're a hip-hop historian, if you're a radio historian, you have to get this
and
book.
If you know nothing about radio or anything like that, you'll still enjoy this book because it's very well written and great stories in there no matter what.
It's like a hip-hop Outliers.
I love that you said that. That's so dope to me. It's amazing to feel how different parts kind of resonate with people, and I'm really proud of it. Everything I stand by in there, I'm so happy you like it.
It's a classic, man. Instant classic. A great documentation of a classic stories from a classic person.
It's The Breakfast Club. It's Miss Angie Martinez.